Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainis Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief format and introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Zayin Omid Beis. You'll notice that we have a diamond around the expression Omamar. This is a marking scheme that we started at the end of our previous shiur. These are quotes from the source that featured two rabbinic holidays whose source was found in the Megillus Tainus, a work that we marked off with a frame at the beginning of the wide lines, just a few lines up. Before we actually continue with the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our topic heading, and under the Nosei we've written Bedome le Nosei din Liel, similar to the topic before, in other words, that we had discussed at the end of our previous shiur. Hagemara Shoelis, the Gemara will be asking, Lomo Yesh Tzorech Litzayin HaTarich Shel Chag DeShvuayo, why does the Tana feel it necessary to denote the date of the holiday referred to as the holiday of Shvuaya? We explained in our previous shiur what that was a reference to. So, but for our purposes, it's a rabbinic holiday where the rabbis were victorious over the heretics in establishing how to calculate the holiday of Shavuos. And on that occasion, a holiday was established, and its date was given from Ches Nisan until the end of Pesach, at Sof Mo'ado. V'lo hoya maspik lomar, why wasn't it enough simply to say, meches b'nisan ad hamoyed, from the 8th of Nisan until the holiday? Why until the end of the holiday of Pesach? Say up till Pesach, up till the beginning of Pesach. The moyed gufe, Pesach itself, yom tovhu, that itself is a holiday. So we continue now in the Gemara, bearing in mind that the points we're referring to here are based on information we discussed in our previous year. We're not going to review all of that information again, so as not to sound overly repetitive for those who did benefit from the previous year. So we continue three lines from the bottom. Omar Mar, Mitamne Bei Ad Sof Mo'ado, Itoisiv Chago Deshvuaya Delola Mispad, from the 8th, Tanya is the 8th of Nisan until the end of Pesach, is a rabbinic holiday. Itoisiv Chag Shvuah means that the calculation of Shavuos was Itoisiv, was established, in other words, the rabbis successfully were victorious over the heretics, the Tzedukim, and as a result, a festive occasion was established, Delola Mispad. Not only is fasting restricted, but eulogies are also restricted. Lomali ad sof mo'ed. Now, again, we've mentioned our previous year, the triangle scheme is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of the discussion, where the triangle position point up are questions and the inverted triangle are responses. So, the question, Lomali ad sof mo'ed. Why is it necessary to denote the date as being until the end of Pesach? Namely, the date of the rabbinic holiday of Chag Deshvuaya, from the 8th of Nisan until after Pesach. Leimo ad ha-moed, say from the 8th of Nisan until Pesach. Umoed gufe yom tov hu v'yosur, and moed itself, that means Pesach itself, is a holiday, and it carries with it a restriction in fasting and eulogizing in and of itself. Why was it necessary to incorporate the all of Pesach in the rabbinic holiday? Omar Rav Papa, So Rav Popa explains, Kide Omar Rav, like Rav explained, and this reference to Rav was seen just a few lines up. We had this at the end of our previous shiur, and we have a little star to the right-hand side of the Gemara text to enable you to connect where that was found earlier. What Rav had answered was, Lo nitzrecho ela le'esor yoim shelefonov. In the context of our previous shiur, Rav mentioned that citation of the previous rabbinic holiday as being from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 8th of Nisan, why was it necessary to include Rosh Chodesh when Rosh Chodesh itself is a holiday? So Rav had answered by mentioning that the rabbinic holiday is from Rosh Chodesh till the 8th. I'm able to include as being restricted in fasting the day before. That's El Oles or Yom Shelfonov. We're here at the top of Daf Yud Ches Omed Aleph. So Hochinami, so too over here with regard to our Chagah de Shvuayot discussion, Lo Nitzercha, the noting of Pesach as being part of the rabbinic holiday, is Elo Le'esor Yom Shel Achrov, by mentioning that Chag HaShvuayot takes in Pesach as well. In other words, the dates for Chag HaShvuayot are from Ches Nisan until Chof Aleph Nisan, which is the last day of Pesach. You know what happens? I take in Yom Shel Achrov, the day after Pesach as well, which would be the 22nd of Nisan, as also being a day that is restricted in fasting. So the main point, now we've dashed underline this, we have to focus on this, is Le'esor Yom Shel Achrov. We're going to be banning or prohibiting from fasting the day afterwards as well. Now this issue of do we include the day afterwards, this is a discussion that is a machlokes tanoim. And we saw back on Daf Yud Zayin, we had a chart on the side of the Gemara where you could see there that the idea of asuring the day afterwards with regard to fasting is something that only Rabbi Yossi will subscribe to. Again, when it comes to fasting afterwards, those holidays that are holidays established with a prohibition of fasting, does that take in the day afterwards as well? So let's go over this last point again with greater accuracy. Does the rabbinic holiday take in the day afterwards as well as being prohibited? So you will find that this is something only Rabbi Yossi will subscribe to. Now that having been said, we continue in the Gemara. Keman, Kerabbi Yossi. Are you answering then that the source is taught in accordance with Rabbi Yossi? He is the one that says that the Yom Shel Achrov is Asur. Well, that would mean that you're opting for Rabbi Yossi over the Rabbanon, which is kind of unusual. You're going for a Shitas Yochid, for an individual opinion over a majority opinion. So, is that what you are saying? That says Rabbi Yossi who holds Bain Lefonov Bain La'achrov Osir. Now we dashed down the line La'achrov Osir. Now note, by the way, that we're starting a long question. So if the source is being taught according to Rabbi Yossi, Ihachi Be'esrim V'tisha Nami. Now here's a little arrow to the right hand, to the left hand side of the Gemara text. This is a throwback to what we discussed at the end of our previous shiur, that we had wanted to, we mentioned that the first of the two rabbinic holidays, namely the Itoikim Tamido holiday, was from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And why did we have to include Rosh Chodesh when it itself is a holiday? It has a certain Yom Tov status itself. Why was it necessary rabbinically to include Rosh Chodesh in that holiday? And we answered, because by doing so, we're going to be including the day before Rosh Chodesh, namely the 29th of Adar. Once again, The answer given there was to include the day before. But if you're saying that that source from Megillus Tainus, with the two holidays that were featured back on Daf Yud Zayin Omid Beis in the beginning of the wide lines, if you're saying that this source is taught according to Reb Yossi, then you could have included the 29th of Adar as being restricted in mournful practices by simply noting that it's the day after another rabbinic holiday, a rabbinic holiday that we'll refer to as the 28th of Adar. On the 28th of Adar, there is a rabbinic holiday, and the Gemara will shortly feature that. If the 28th of Adar is a rabbinic holiday, then what's the 29th? It's the day after the 28th. So of what value was including in the holiday of the Tomid, mentioning that Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, is the beginning of that holiday only with the goal of including the 29th of Adar as being the day before Rosh Chodesh? You don't need to come on to that at all. If the source is according to Rabbi Yossi, the 29th of Adar will be restricted in mournful practices simply by virtue of the fact that it's the day after the 28th. Now, if the source was authored by the Rabbanon, then the fact that the 29th is the day after the rabbinic holiday of the 28th would not be sufficient, and that would explain why I have to count the next rabbinic holiday, namely the Chag of the Tomid, from Rosh Chodesh, because only that way will I include the 29th as being restricted in mournful practices. Mournful, we mean, of course, fasting and eulogizing. But if the source is authored by Rabbi Yossi, there is another rabbinic holiday, the 28th of Adar, and that would, by virtue of the fact that the 29th is the day after the 28th, if it's a Rabbi Yossi source, the 29th would be included that way without coming on to the Rosh Chodesh citation regarding the holiday of the Tumid. Now, let's read that in the words of the Gemara. We're reading from the third line from the top in the middle. Ihachi, if the source is according to Rabbi Yossi, be'esrim v'tisha nami, regarding the 29th of Adar that we discussed on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, I my irya dehavi yoima demekami yoima demitoikim tamido. Why speak about it, the 29th, as being the day before the Tumid holiday, which began on Rosh Chodesh? Tepuk lay, dehavi lay, learn out that the 29th of Adar is restricted. Davle yoima de bosar, we dash down the bosar, bosar means after. The bosar esrin v'tamnebe, it is the day after the 28th. So once again, we're repeating ourselves again. Why was Megillus Tainus, if authored by Rabbi Yossi, why was it so important to mention the holiday of the Tumid as beginning on Rosh Chodesh? Let's skip the bracketed section. The bracketed section simply gives you the background for that rabbinic holiday of the 28th, but the question still is upon us. The question being, why was it important? If the source is according to Rabbi Yossi, then why, and we need to answer that so as to explain why Pesach is included in the rabbinic holiday of Chagah d'Shvuayah. So if you want to latch on to that answer, we have to explain why was the previous rabbinic holiday, namely the holiday of the Tumid, noted from the first, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So if we skip the bracketed section, we see an inverted triangle, and this the house shape you see following it represents answers to this very question. So you have here Abaye, on the next line you have Rav Ashi, and a few lines later, number 3 will appear as well, a third answer to this very question. What was the significance of noting that the Chagah d'Tumid, the Tumid holiday, was from Rosh Chodesh? So Abaye will answer, Omar Abaye, Loi Nitzucha Elo L'Chodesh Me'ubar. That will be necessary if you have an Adar that is extended by one day. If Adar is extended by one day, that means that Adar is not a 29-day month, but it's a 30-day month. So if it's a 30-day month, what's if you want to aser the day if you want to aser the 29th, so the 29th is no longer the day before the Tumen holiday. So if we also, by the way, have a little note on the side, and we read the note, it says, Hoti Omar Rav Liel lo nitzchel lo eser yom shelefonov, that we note that the Tumen holiday is what? The Tumen holiday is noted from Rosh Chodesh. What was Rav's expression? Rav's expression was, in order to aser, in order to restrict from mournful practices the day before. Well, the day before isn't going to be the 29th in this case. B'chodesh Ador Me'ubar, in a case of an extended Chodesh Ador, Oz Hach Yom Shelefonov, the day before the rabbinic holiday starting on Rosh Chodesh, Nisan is going to be the 30th of Ador. V'ze'eno Hayom Shelachrei Chofches, and that's not the day that's after the 29th. So that in fact the source could be authored by Rabbi Yossi. And if you'll ask, well, the 29th is going to be usher anyway because it's the day after the 28th, that's not true. The day, the 29th is, let's say that point again. The 29th isn't going to be usher by virtue of the fact that it's the day before Rosh Chodesh. Hence, Rav said that the reason we note that Rosh Chodesh is the beginning of the rabbinic holiday, that's to include the day before Rosh Chodesh. And if you'll ask, well, the day before Rosh Chodesh is anyway the day after the 28th, that's not true. The day before Rosh Chodesh is not the day after the 28th holiday, because we're dealing with a Rosh Chodesh that's been extended by a day. And hence, the day before Rosh Chodesh will be the 30th of Adar, and the 29th, that will be usher in mournful practices by virtue of the fact that it is the day after the 28th. The next answer of Ashi, he gives a second answer to this question, but we did skip a bracketed section. We'll have to come back to this scheme later. In the meantime, we're asking that if the source is authored by Rabbi Yossi, so the 29th, well, that's going to be restricted. Why speak about it by being the day before the day of Itoikim Tamida? Speak about it as being the day after the 28th. Desanya, and now in the brackets. Be'esrim v'tamna bay, and on the 28th of Adar, something happened that resulted in the rabbis declaring it a festive occasion. On the 28th of Adar, osus besurta tovsel yudoi, good news came to the Jews. Delo ya'idun min oraisa, that they no longer have to avoid, absent themselves from Torah learning. Shepam achas nigzura gzera al Yisrael, there was once an edict issued against the Jewish people, shelo yasku b'torah v'shelo yumus b'neim v'shichalu shabosus. 3 points, that they should not learn Torah, that they shall not circumcise their sons, and that they shall violate Shabbos. If you think about these points, the Gentiles were very wise in knowing what to attack when trying to stop Judaism from continuing. They attacked 3 pillars. First and foremost, the study of Torah. That's the heart and soul of the Jewish people. That is what has maintained the Jewish people over all of the centuries and all of the oppressions that the Gentiles so skillfully and willingly practiced against the Jewish people. So they knew, let's stop their Torah learning, and that will cause the disintegration of the Jewish people. So that's one thing they ruled, and also the circumcision of the Jewish males, another mainstay of the Jewish people, and of course the maintenance of Shabbos, the practice of keeping Shabbos. So they ruled that Jews must violate the Shabbos. As the well-known saying goes, more than the Jews keep Shabbos, Shabbos keeps the Jews. And once Jews start violating Shabbos, those factions, those groups that no longer observe the Shabbos according to the rules of the oral tradition of the Shulchan Aruch, they eventually disappear into oblivion. So that's what these Gentiles of old tried to do, to rule against these practices. Ma also Yehuda ben Shamua v'chaverav, what did Yehuda and his friends do? Holchu v'notlu etzum yachrinisa achas, they sought counsel from a matron woman, a certain important a woman figure. Shekol g'doyle Romi mitzuyin, as all of the officials of Rome used to keep company with her, used to be found by her. Exactly what they were doing with her, we'll leave that up to your imagination, but they were always by this particular woman, and she knew how to approach the leaders of Rome. So she advised Yehuda ben Shamua, Omra Lohem, she told them, Imdu v'avginu balayla, arise and protest at night. Holchu v'avginu balayla, they arose and they screamed, they protested, they prayed at night. Omru, and they said, E Shomayim, woe, heaven, lo achim anachnu, are we not brothers, lo b'nei av echod anachnu, are we not all the children of the same father? Don't forget, all mankind stems from Adam and Eve. So do we not all come from Adam Harishon? Lo b'nei eim achas anachnu, are we not all from the same mother, from Chava, from the eim kochai, the mother of all mankind? Manishtaninu mikol umo v'loshon, what are we, the Jews, different from all nations and languages? She'atem goizim olenu gzeros ros, that you issue your edicts, your evil edicts only against us. Ubitlum, and the Romans heard that, they understood that claim, and they canceled their edict. The Oisu Hayom Asu Yomtov, and that day, that was the they made into a holiday. That was the 28th of Adar. So that having been said, we know that the 28th of Adar is a rabbinic holiday. So that being the case, the 29th, well, that will be also restricted from mournful practices by virtue of the fact that it's the day after the 28th. And that, of course, is according to Rabbi Yossi. So if you're saying the source of Megillas Tainus is based on the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, why then when it came to the next rabbinic holiday, the we'll call it the Tomid holiday, why was it necessary to celebrate it from as a rabbinic holiday from Rosh Chodesh on till the 8th? You could have if you'll tell me that's in order to include the 29th, well, the 29th is included automatically, as by virtue of the fact it's the day after the 28th. So why was it necessary to denote that the Tomid holiday starts from Rosh Chodesh? So Omar Abaye lo nitzurcha ela l'chodesh meubar, where need to declare the rabbinic holiday, the Tomid holiday from Rosh Chodesh, is it be, in a case where the month of Adar has been extended by a day, making it a 30-day month, and therefore the day before Rosh Chodesh is not going to be the 29th. It's going to be the 30th of Adar. So that there is value in establishing the rabbinic holiday of the Tomid from Rosh Chodesh Adar so as to include the day before, which is not, in that case, the 29th. Rav Ashi Omar, Afilu Temo L'Chodesh Choser. Rav Ashi says that the need for establishing the Tomid holiday from Rosh Chodesh is even if the day, month before Adar was a 29-day month. So, if that's the case, then, well, isn't the day before Rosh Chodesh Adar, the 29th, usur anyway because it's the day after the 28th? So there's a difference, though. Kol Shela Achrov, when you're dealing with a day as simply being the day after, betainis usur behesped mutter, it's partially restricted as by virtue of the fact that it's the day after. It's also in eulogizing, it's also in fasting, but mutter in eulogizing. Fezeh, the 29th of Adar, hayul umutal bein shnei yomim toivim, since it's positioned between two holidays, that's the Chof Ches Adar holiday and the Chag of the Tomid, it is a special status, its position, it's sandwiched between two holidays. So Asu Ki Yom Tov Atzmo, it becomes like a holiday in and of itself. Ve'afilu behesped nami osur, and it's going to be therefore osur even in eulogizing. Once again, by virtue of the fact of it being merely a day after, that wouldn't ban it from eulogizing. But being that it's sandwiched between two holidays, that will make it usur even in hespedim, even in eulogizing. Omar Mar, again a quote from the source of the Tanaic source, the Megillah's Taina source. Mitamni bei from the 8th of Nisan until the end of Pesach, the holiday of Shavuos and its calculation was established, and that being now that being made into a rabbinic holiday where even eulogizing is forbidden. Why was it necessary to say that that Chagat Shavuaya is from the 8th of Nisan? Why not just say that it's a holiday from the 9th of Nisan? The Tamni Gufei Osir. The 8th is already Osir. The Havale Yoyma Di Tokim Bei Tamida. It was part of that Tomid holiday, which lasted from Rosh Chodesh Nisan till the 8th included. So are we not counting the 8th twice? Are we not counting it as the last day of the Tomid holiday and as the first day of the Shavuaya holiday? Wouldn't it have been enough to establish the Shavuaya holiday from the 9th of Nisan? The Gemara answers, Kevon de'ilu mikla milsa ubatline l'shiva. If something would happen in terms of history, and that they would cancel the first 7 days of Nisan as being a holiday, and once you, let's say, cancel the first 7 days, that means you canceled most of that first rabbinic holiday, the 8th day would go down along with it. Tamni Gufei Osir, so the 8th would still be preserved, even though it went down with the cancellation of the Tomid holiday, but it would still be preserved. The Havile Yoimo Kama Detosev Bechagad Shvaya would still be considered a holiday by virtue of it being the first of the Shvuayo holiday. Well, with that information in, Hashto de Osis Lahachi, now that we've come to this point, Esrim Vetishonami, regarding the issue of the 29th, Kevon de Ilu Mikla Milso Batline Lesser Vitano, if something would happen that they would cancel the celebration of the 28th, Esser Vetisha Gufei Osir, the 29th will still be Osir in mournful practices. It remains still the day before the day of the Tomid being established. So that you can see here's a third answer as to why was it significant to declare the Tomid holiday from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when Rosh Chodesh itself is a holiday, so we're thereby going to guarantee the quasi-celebration of the 29th, even in the face of the 28th being cancelled. Now as we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice very shortly some new markings. You'll see a crown shape. And on the side under the Mivneh, you see the crown shape and the double underline, Simun Kidei Litzor Kesher Bein Hashitos Shesovros Halochik Rabbi Yossi. These are markings in order to serve as a type of connection between the opinions that happen to rule like Rabbi Yossi. So this section of Gemara will be dealing with Psak Halacha, Itmar, Rabbi Chiyo Bar Asi Omar Rav, Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. And by holding like Rabbi Yossi, you're saying that whether you're dealing with the day before a rabbinic holiday or even the day after, here the emphasis is on the day after, they are also to be observed with restrictions regarding mournful practices. Ushmuel Omar Halacha K'Rabbi Meir. Shmuel rules like Rabbi Meir, that's a reference to the Tanakama of the Mishnah, that the day before is usher, is banned from mournful practices, but not the day after. And if we skip the bracketed section, V'chein Omar Boli, Boli is the name of a sage, Omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, you see we're three lines from the bottom, Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. Here's someone else that rules like Rabbi Yossi, someone else meaning in addition to Rav, you see Boli is quoting Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, also holding like Rabbi Yossi. Now we go to the bracketed section that we just skipped, and on the side we have a note by the star, Matras HaSugrayim. The purpose of this bracketed section is Kedei L'Tachem, to show the borders or the extremes, the beginning and end, the boundaries. Diyun b'toch shita Shmuel. We're creating a boundary of the section of Gemara that will be dealing within the opinion of Shmuel. In Midalgim al Haketa, but so Graham, if we skip over the bracketed section, Efshir Miad Lirois Hakesher Imash Shemofia Acharehem, then you can see that the connection between that which appears after them, the connection between that which appears after them to that which we just read, where it says V'chein Omar Boli, and likewise Boli says, likewise meaning coming on the heels of Rav, just before the brackets, Boli also rules the halachs like Rabbi Yossi. That having been said, let's go into the bracketed section. Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi. Umi Omar Shmuel Hochi. Again, we correct our mistake. Umi Omar Shmuel Hochi. Would Shmuel really have said thusly that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir? V'ho Tanya. First we have a brisa, and then following the brisa we have Shmuel and his ruling. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer. Why in the Megillus Tainus does the word Bahon appear twice? Bahon means in them, regarding them. Why does it appear twice in the text? Lomar Loch, it tells me, Shehein Asurin, that the days themselves are restricted from the mournful practices of fasting, eulogizing. Lifneem Ulachreem Mutorin. However, when it comes to the days before and the days after, there are no restrictions. You can practice any way you like. You can fast. You can eulogize. The Omar Shmuel, Halacha K'Rabbon Shimon ben Gamliel, and Shmuel rules like that. Well, the ruling like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is not like the ruling of Rabbi Meir. If Shmuel rules like Rabbi Meir, then the day before the rabbinic holidays will have restrictions. Ruling like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel leaves you with no restrictions. Not only no restrictions regarding the day after, but even regarding the day before. So we're looking for a certain level of consistency within Shmuel's rulings. The Gemara answers, Me'ikora Sovar, at the outset, he holds, Kevon Deleko Tano Demekal, Karebi Meir, Omar Locha, Karebi Meir. Shmuel was striving to be lenient. So initially, Shmuel thought that there is no Tana more lenient than Rebbe Meir. So we will rule like Rabbi Meir. Keva de Shami Rab Shimon Gamliel to make out fei. When Shmuel became aware of Rab Shimon Gamliel, who is even more lenient, meaning he's less restrictive, so Omar Halach Rab Shimon Gamliel. It's upon that occasion that Shmuel went further and then ruled like Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. V'chein Omar Boli Omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Omar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha K'Rabbi Yosi. The halacha shall follow Rabbi Yossi, who says that there are restrictions from the mournful practices, whether it's the day before the rabbinic holiday or even the day after the rabbinic holiday. Omale Rabbi Chiya Leboli. Asbara loch, I want to explain to you, ki omar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ka Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yochanan said that, when he said that the halacha was like Rabbi Yossi, Adeloi lehis ano'o. That is with regard to those holidays that were called the non-fasting holidays. Namely, that before them, it will be usur. If we look in the Rashi for further clarification, three lines from the bottom, Hochi Garsinon, or Kyomar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Adolo lisano. The yomim maksuv Megillas Tainis lo sano. Those days that are recorded in the Megillas Tainis as days of, let's say, non-fasting days. Lifneim asurim ulachrov mutarim. Kribyosi. Now, we, in our previous shiur, we mentioned that there were two tiers of holidays. There were days that were restricted in just fasting. There were days that were restricted in fasting and eulogizing. So regarding those days that are days of, we'll call them the non-fasting days, there was a machlokes between Reb Yossi and the Tanakhama. And this you can see on the chart very clearly back on Daf Yud Zayin. We have a chart on Yud Zayin Omid Beis in the margin, where on the lowest on all days, the Tanakhama ruled there was no restriction on the day before nor the day after. But Reb Yossi held that the day before is restricted. So regarding those days that the ruling goes like Reb Yossi, namely that the day before will also be restricted. However, with regard to the other kind of holidays, the non-eulogizing holidays, those are holidays that are a higher level of joy, where not only is fasting usher, but eulogizing is also usher, there Rabbi Yochanan will not rule like Reb Yossi. In those holidays, Reb Yossi says that the day, not only the day before is restricted, but the day afterwards is also restricted. Regarding those kind of holidays, Reb Yochanan would rule like Rabbi Meir, who says that although the day before is usur, the day after is not restricted. Now, this kind of gemara might sound confusing, and that's why we had provided that chart back on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, which makes things much easier to navigate over here. So we continue with the gemara, where we just left off, second line from the bottom. Reb Chiyo explained to Boli that Reb Yochanan's ruling, like Reb Yossi, was only with regard to those less joyful days, the days we call the lowly hisano days, the non-fasting rabbinic holidays, where Reb Yossi will say that the day before is usur, as opposed to the Tanakhama, who said that even the day before, not, and as certainly the day after, are permitted. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Here the Gemara begins a question. You'll notice that this is a long question, taking you down till the first wide line on Amud Beis. The Gemara asks, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold like that? That the day before is Aser? V'Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kista Mishnah. We have to rule like an unnamed Mishnah, Mishnah in Maseches Megillah. There's a Stam Mishnah is viewed as an authoritative source. It has no, it's a Mishnah taught without a name attached to it, giving it a sense of general acceptance and we'll call it authority. Utnan, and it says with regard to the laws of Megillah reading, A number of points are mentioned, but let's just review the main point, and we'll get back to it later because we're gonna might get bogged down in details. The main point is that even though you can read a Megillah on certain early days, earlier than the official Purim days, those days are permitted in fasting. One is allowed to eulogize and fast on those. We'll call them pre-days, lefonov. So how can you say that Rabbi Yochanan will rule like Rabbi Yossi on when it comes to days of the low lehisano days, where the days before will also be usher? We're going to see regarding Purim, which is clearly a day for prohibited in fasting, and yet the day before, and here we're being a little general because we're going to get into a lot of date details, but we're going to see that the day before is going to be allowed in fasting. So we continue now. Rabbi Yochanan, does he not rule like this Stam Mishnah Megillah Utnan Afal Pi Shomru Makdimin, even though the rabbis allow for, under certain circumstances, the earlier Makdimin's an earlier Megillah reading. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Mutorin behesped v'tainis. One will still be allowed during this day of early Megillah reading, allowed in eulogizing and fasting. Amos. Now here the Gemara gets into detail. The double underline is one of our series markings. On the side, we have a mivneh, the structural note. These are shlavim. But birur hamoker, these are stages in clarifying this source. Shematir behesved v'tainis mishikoras a Megillah mukdam, regarding someone who read the Megillah early, namely before the 14th. What exactly is happening here? We should mention maybe before we do the Gemara that there are under certain circumstances, even though Purim is recorded in the Megillah as on the 14th and 15th of Adar, 15th of Adar is called Shushan Purim, which is celebrated nowadays, let's say, in Jerusalem and walled cities from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. The 14th is for the general public. The 14th and 15th are the Megillah official Purim days. The Mishnah says that the Megillah could, technically speaking, be read from the 11th till the 15th, the 11th of Adar, the 12th, the 13th, 14th and 15th, obviously. So given certain contingencies, the Megillah reading can be read earlier. And this Mishnah is telling us, this Tanaic source is telling us, that even though it can be read earlier, that time that you're going to be reading it, you can have a eulogy and you can fast. Amos, well, when exactly is this? Eleimo b'nei chamesar v'kal karu leba besar. There are people that live in a walled city and they're reading it on the 14th because they're not in their walled city. And they're reading on the 14th. We're saying here that they could fast and eulogize on the 14th, but that's not true. Mishori is not allowed. Valksiv b'Megillas Tainis. Does it not say in the Megillas Tainis, this list of rabbinic holidays? It says Yoim Arba Sar Boi, the Yoim Chamisha Sar Boi, the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar, Yoim Puraya Inun. Those are the days of Purim. The Loi Lemispad Bahon. One is not allowed to eulogize on those days. The Omar Rava, Lo Nitzurcha Elo Lesor Es Shel Ze Boze Ve Es Shel Ze Boze. The necessity of having this spelled out in the Megillas Tainis is that it's usher for people on the that are celebrating the 14th to eulogize or fast on the 15th, and people who are celebrating it on the 15th cannot fast on the 14th. So those days are out of the question. You're not allowed to eulogize on those days. So it can't be the scenario of a person who lives on who's a 15th Adar person who's reading on the 14th and then say he's allowed to eulogize. That's not so. Viela, so what might it be? B'nei Arbesar, v'ka korile b'tleisar. It's someone who lives in an unwalled city who would ordinarily be celebrating on the 14th, but for some reason, because of a contingency, so he is going to be reading on the 13th. And then you're telling me that on the 13th of Adar, he would be allowed to eulogize. But that's not true. Yoim Nikanor Hu. The Gemara later will explain what that is, but for our purposes, it's a rabbinic holiday. It's not allowed for, you cannot practice mournful, you can't eulogize on that day. V'elo. So then what are the circumstances of the source above? V'elo b'nei arbesar, people that live in unwalled cities, v'ka korile b'treisar. They're reading it on the 12th of Adar. And that's the day that the source is telling is Mutter Behesped V'tainis. But that's not true. Yom Turinus, who? That's another rabbinic holiday. The 12th of Adar is called Yom Turinus. And being that it is a rabbinic holiday, it's not allowed in fasting and eulogizing. Elo lav de kokorule bechadesar. We're talking about someone who lives in an unwalled city, and he has, because of contingency considerations, he is allowed to read it on the 11th. Now, the 11th, let's note, is the day before Turinus. Turinus, you say, was the 12th of Adar. We have someone who is reading it on the 11th of Adar. The Katani Mutter Behesed Ubitainis, and the unnamed source says that on the 11th of Adar, which is the day before a rabbinic holiday, one is allowed to eulogize and fast. Well, that's not like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said that it's that Lefonov is usur. And yet Shmuel is, and yet Rabbi Yochanan is ruling like this Stam source, and he is not ruling like Rabbi Yossi. That is the question. The Gemara responds, Loi. The calculation, the dates are not like we said. Rather, it's Bnei Arbasar, V'kokorulei B'treisar. It's people that would ordinarily read on the 14th. They're in unwalled cities. However, they are given a, because of contingency considerations, they're going to be reading it on the 13th. And we're saying that they're allowed to fast on that 13th. Udeko Amris Yom Terainesu, you'll say, well, the 13th is a rabbinic holiday, and therefore there can't be Hespin and Tainus. Yom Terainesu Skufe Betule Betluhu. The 13th was voided. It was canceled as a rabbinic holiday. Why was they canceled? Since these two righteous people were murdered on the 13th of Adar, Shmaya and his brother Achia, so it was canceled as a day of celebration. Kiha de Rav Nachman, Gozer Tanisa, Betresar. There had been an occasion that Rav Nachman ruled that there shall be a fast day on the 12th of Adar. Omru le Rabbonon. The Rabbonon said, how can you make a fast day on the 12th? Yom Turinus hu. It is Yom Turinus. Omar lehu. So he answered. By the way, we have to just correct ourselves. There was a slip of the tongue just a few lines up. We made mention of the 13th of Adar. No, that was a mistake. On the first wide line, we said, the Gemara said, Lo b'nei arbeisar v'kokorulei b'treisar. Treisar is the 12th of Adar. We said mistakenly the 13th. Well, and then we asked, but the 12th of Adar is Yom Terainis. So the Gemara answered, don't, no fear, they could fast on that because Yom Terainis was canceled. And why was it canceled? Because on that 12th of Adar, Shmaya and Achio were murdered. And now this point is illustrated by this incident that happens with Rav Nachman. He ruled that there shall be a public fast on the 12th of Adar. The Rabbonin asked Rav Nachman, how can you say that? They said, but isn't the 12th of Adar Terainus day? Omar Luhu. So Rav Nachman answered, Yom Terainus Betule Betluhu. Hayol v'nergubo Shmai v'achiyo ochiv. Since it was canceled, it was voided because Shmaya and his brother Achio were murdered on the 12th, on that day, on the 12th of Adar. But the 12th of Adar, how can you say that it's mutter to fast on that day? Is it not the day before Nicanor Day? The Nicanor Day was on the 13th. Omer Ravashi, Hashta Ihu Gufe Batlu, the day itself, namely the 12th of Adar, was canceled as a celebratory day. So it itself was canceled. Mishum yom nikanor nekom v'nigzar, by virtue of the fact that the 12th still is the day before Nicanor Day, which is on the 13th, is that going to be reason to have this the celebratory nature of fasting restrictions? Of course not. In other words, when the heart itself is canceled as being celebratory, so by virtue of the fact that the 12th is the day before another festive day, that's not going to be reason to ban it from any celebratory identity. So the 12th, in fact, is a day, and that's that was the scenario mentioned before of it being mutter in fasting. Now, just to not to lose sight of the forest for the trees, Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, rules like Rabbi Yossi, that day before festive days are, yes, restricted in mournful practices. Now, as far as the source regarding the Megillah and their reading, and we saw that the day before was allowed in mournful practice, that's only because the day itself was canceled as a holiday. But in general, if you're not dealing with issues of cancellations, then the day before a rabbinic holiday will be restricted, like Rabbi Yossi mentioned. As we continue on in the Gemara, we notice at the side we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The diamond is used to highlight the names Nicanor and Turinus. These were holidays that we mentioned in the Gemara just till now. My Nicanor Umay Turinus mentioned these are festive days. What happened on those days? Desanya, Nicanor echad me'afarchei Yevonim hoya. Nicanor was one of the officials, ministers of Greece. Uvechol yoim v'yoim hoya meinif yodoi al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. And every day he used to wave his hand over the province of Judea and the city of Jerusalem, v'Omer, and he used to say, Amos haiti po b'yodi v'amar sena. When is it going to fall into my hands and I will crush it? Uvshigavro malchus beis chashmonoi v'nitzchum. And when the Hasmonean kingdom overpowered and defeated the Greeks, kotzu behinus yodo v'raglov, they cut off the thumbs of this gentleman Nicanor, his thumbs of his hands and his feet, v'tolum b'shara Yerushalayim, and they suspended them, hung them from the gates in the gates of Jerusalem, v'omru, and they said, peshoyim medaber b'gayv of yodayv shem menifos al Yerushalayim. The mouth that used to speak in such haughtiness, and the hands that used to wave over Jerusalem, Teose Bohem Nekoma, there is vengeance that's wrought upon them. My Turinus, what is that a reference to? Omru Kishabikesh Turinus Laroig es Lulianus Vapapus Ochiv Balutkia, when Turinus schemed to murder these two righteous people, Lulianus and his brother Pappus, in Lutkia, Omar Lohem, so Turinus said, he said about them. Now, there's a more background to these two brothers, and Rashi gives that story. If we look together in the Rashi, Belutkia, he Lud. The Hainu Damirin Becholduchto, referring to these brothers, Lulianus and Pappus, it's mentioned in other locations, Haruge Lud, the murdered ones of Lud, Ein Kobriya Yecholo Lamo Mimichitzosin Megan Eden. No one can stand in their precinct in paradise. The Yesh Omrim, there are those that say, Shenergu Albita Shemelech, Shimsis Haruga. This is an example of an old libel, a blood libel against the Jewish people. There was the daughter of the king was found murdered, Viomru, and they said, Hayehudim Hargua. The Jews killed her. The Gazru Gzero al Sonem Shisrael, and this is a euphemism, this expression, Sonem Shisrael, and really means the Jewish people, even though translated means the enemies of Israel. They issued an edict against the Jewish people, and the edict would be that they will kill all of the Jews. The Omdu Elu, Upadu es Yisrael, and these two arose and redeemed Israel, the Omru, and they claimed, Onu Harganua, they took the blame, we killed her. V'horag Melech Le'elu Bilvad, and the king, realizing that, well, he's got confessed murderers, so he killed just them. So now the story continues. We're going back to the Gemara text. Omar Lohem, Turinus, the name probably is the origin of the word tyrannical, or whatever, cart and the horse, whichever comes first, but he was a tyrannical individual. So he said, Im me amoi shel Hananya Mishal Bazaria atem, if you are from the nation of these righteous ones, these figures, Hananya Mishal Bazaria, are featured in Sefer Doniel, and their famous story involving them. They were thrown into a furnace, and they had refused to bow down to a statue erected in the honor of Nebuchadnezzar, and as a result they were thrown into a furnace, and they were miraculously spared and remain unscathed. So this Roman official says to Lulianus and Pappas, if you're from the nation of the people of Hanan Shalazaya, then Yovo Elokechem v'yatzileschem yodi, then let your God come and save you from me. Kederach sheitzos Hanan Shalazaya miyad nevuchanetzar, as the Almighty saved those righteous ones from the clutches of the Nebuchadnezzar. Omru loy. So Lulianus and Pappas responded to Tyrannus. You can't expect the Lord to intervene on our behalf like he did on their behalf. They, Chanan and Shazaya, were totally righteous. And they were fit to have a miracle happen to them, to be saved from the cauldron into which they were thrust. This is a bit of an ironic statement, but they are saying that Nebuchadnezzar, he was a fitting, was a proper king. The royal Nesadon, he had the merit to have a miracle happen through him. For Oisa Rosha Hedidhu, and here they're speaking to him directly to Tyrannus, says, you are a commoner and wicked. The Aino Roy Lessus Nes Al Yodo, and you're not fit to have a miracle happen through you. The Anu Nishayavnu Hariga Lamokum, and we, for whatever reason, we have been determined to be guilty of death at the hands of heaven. The im ein ato horagnu horgenu, and if you're not going to kill us, harbe horgim yesh lo lamokum. The Almighty has many emissaries to carry out His will of executing someone who deserves that. Vaharbe dubin va'aroya seish lamokum. He has not only has many murderers. He has also many wild animals. He has bears and lions at his calling. Yeshlo lamokim ba'ilomo shepoygin banu. He can call upon any bear or lion to kill us. The horgim oisanu, and thereby eliminate us. Elo lo masanu shborchu biyodcha. Elo shaosu lipora domenu miyodcha. However, it seems that the will of heaven is that He has given us over into Your hands, so as to serve as an excuse to seek vengeance of our spilled blood from You later. Afal pikein horgon miyad. Nevertheless, He killed them. The Tyrannus killed Lulianus and Pappas immediately. Omru, it was said, lo zozu misham, they didn't leave there. In other words, not a moment went by. At shebo dupli miromi, until two ministers, poli is a reference to a sar, a minister. Two ministers came from Rome, upotsu es moichu begizrin, and they smashed the skull of Tyrannus with some sticks. So as the two brothers said, the Almighty will avenge our blood anyway. Ein goizrin tainis al atzibur betchilo b'chamishi v'chulei ein goizrin tainis b'roshei chodoshim. The Mishnah mentioned several points of when and when not one is allowed to issue a public fast day, and then it went on to say, "V'im hischilu ein mafsikin divrei Rabban Gamliel." If they had started fasting, so then they won't stop. And the Mishnah went on to say, and we indicate this by the starred note, "Omar Rabbi Meir." Afal pi sh'omar Rav Gamliel ein mafsikin, even though Rav Gamliel said that since the ruling to have the fast days preceded the arrival of those holidays, and Rav Gamliel says they don't stop, in other words, they continue fasting. Rabbi Gamliel himself will be moide that they're not going to fast the entire Rosh Chodesh when they happen to coincide. Now we turn back to the Gemara. The Kamo Havio Haschola, it was mentioned that im hischilu so ein mafsikin. So what does it mean if they began that and then afterwards they won't stop? Rav Ach Omar Sholosh, if they had observed three fast days. In other words, they had already observed a Monday, a Thursday, Monday, and then after that, Rosh Chodesh coincided with the next Thursday, so they won't complete the fast on that Rosh Chodesh. Rav Asi Omar Achas, and Rav Asi says even one observed fast day is considered a beginning. Omar Yehuda Omar Rav Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir Sheomar Mishum Rabban Gamliel. That which we said that Rabban Gamliel be moide, that you don't complete the fast day when it in fact overlaps with a Rosh Chodesh. That is Rabbi Meir in the name of Shum of Rabban Gamliel. Avol Chachomim Oimrim. The Chachomim disagree. Misane Umashlim. They having declared the fast days and started the fasting, they have to complete the fast day, even though it overlaps with a Rosh Chodesh. Dorash Marzutra Mishmei de Rav Huna Halacha Misane Umashim, and Marzutra rules like that, like the Shitas Chachomim that Rav is quoting, that they finish the fast, the entire day in fasting. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you're interested in being in touch with us, especially in the context of accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.